Hello, and I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And it's time to put up or shut up this no holds iron bar Fury review. If it hurts your sensibilities to your favorite game get pounded, it's time to go home now. This review is not for sissies. It's all aggressive, all action. It's raw, it's brutal. This is a tabletop battlefield! Welcome back to Season 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast and Army Showcase over at tabletopbattlefield.com. And if you didn't quite get that whole crazy psycho intro I just did, what we're doing today is our full-blown review of War Machine by Privateer Press. Now, this episode is to prove that we care about our listeners, because this is all in response to an email I got 6 months ago.
Wow, we're really on top of the ball with these emails,
yeah,
Jason.
I know, right? On track. And 6 months ago, we went ahead and we got a... I got an email saying, could you review a War Machine? I'm like, sure, it might take us a couple months. I didn't think it'd take
us six months,
but it did. So, anyway.
Due to financial and other...
Just lazy.
Hey, I was trying to help you out here. You could have just said due to financial problems with gathering a financial,
I could, but that'd be lying to our listeners. I'm just lazy sometimes. If you notice, there's a chair empty in here because, unfortunately, Ryan couldn't be with us. But, it's kind of cool. If you listen very carefully, you might just hear him, his voice echoing throughout the place, like he's still around or something.
Pre-record stuff.
I see dead people.
Well, apparently
it's
not.
It's almost like he's on the other side of the room. I mean, it's really unfortunate he couldn't be with
us. Well, he does live here, so it's possible hear his echo of him. We don't know what happened to him, so.
I don't know. He hasn't shown up in about 3 days. He just kind of disappeared and,
Kind of his stuff.
Yes, you can.
Sweet!
Anyway, let's get to the review time.
I'm going to kill Kyle.
As I hear these threatening voices, this is disturbing.
What's new?
What's new? Nothing new. Okay.
I just assume it's like the rest of the voices, all in my head.
Yeah, it probably is. All of this just has, just hearing some random demonic sounding voices in the background. But just deal with them. They're there all the time. You just whether you want to listen to them or not. But here's how we do the reviews here on the Tabletop Battlefield. We're going to give you a quick overview of the game here in just a minute. The main bulk of it is our Haterade So Sweet segment, where essentially we go point by point. We say, we want to talk about this, and the people involved in the review, in this case, just myself and Kyle, will say whether we think that thing is a good point about the game, so sweet, or do we think it's a bad point about the game, Haterade. So we kind of have a running tally on the backboard here. So you get an idea of overall how we like it. We do about a 2-minute discussion per point. So go back and forth kind of discussing the various points about why we like it, why we don't like it. We'll wrap up and say about overall thoughts of the game, and we'll call it done. But if I also got a third card here. It says Soapbox. What this does is, at the start of any discussion segment, if you want to, you can throw down your Soapbox card. So you can use it once per this entire show. This gives you 1 minute where you can just talk just by yourself. The other person has to kind of shut up and sit there and listen. So if you have something you really want to get across, throw that down, but don't waste it like Ryan did back in Lord of the Rings review.
Will that work for the demonic voice?
I don't know. I think it might still be hanging around in the background. I don't think we have control over him at the moment. So.
Oh, that's quite disappointing.
A little disappointing, but oh well. So let's give it a quick overview.
Haterade.
I heard something. I didn't hear what it was.
I don't know.
I'll probably catch it in post. We'll fix it in post.
So
War Machine. So
would it be this like a EMP? It's not EMP.
EVP?
EVP, yes.
It could be. It could be some very disturbing things going on in the background. But War Machine is a miniature game by Privateer Press. It's a skirmish level game. It calls its kind of self metal on metal fantasy because all the figures are metal. So no plastic figures here. Everything is nice, solid metal, big, hunking guys. I got to throw something at Kyle and kill him right now if I really wanted
to. No WizKids.
No, this is, and no, nothing like WizKids. These are very high quality miniatures.
Alright, just making sure.
In some aspects, it's pretty standard. You move guys around by inches, they measure range in inches, and essentially you gotta make a couple of dice rolls to determine whether you hit a guy, then whether you do enough damage to destroy them. One neat thing is the big guys, these warjacks, have things called damage grids, so essentially you can sever off various parts, like you can cut off the right arm, cut off the left arm. Some guys can have their head blown off.
Back like in MechWarrior, BattleTech.
It's very, think of BattleTech, but a lot simpler and a lot quicker.
Yeah.
In terms of how damage is modeled. So you can blow off individual portions, different weapons can get blown off. And there's some really cool mechanics in how you can power up your guys and make some of them stronger when you need them to be. And it's lots of strategic options to the game. And there's lots of every guy can do a ton of different things. There's tons of special
lots
powers
of rules.
All sorts of crazy stuff. Yeah, there's lots of crazy rules in this game. So, I'll give you that's a very quick overview. It's just it's basically a pretty standard Minch's game, but lots of special powers, lots of crazy rules. And it's all about aggressive play.
Which is the main thing why you probably love this game.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's go ahead. Do you want to start first or want me to start? Or should we roll off?
It does not matter.
Let's roll off. Highest number will go first for something. First point. One.
Four.
Okay, what do you got, Kyle? What do you want to do?
Well, I will do the number of different factions. I love it. It is so sweet.
There's four. So it's about four main factions.
But then each one has like two factions within it. Two groups. Or even more. Don't they have more? I mean, from what I've seen.
It depends. If you want to see the whole one of these books, you have the whole military hierarchy, and there's some of them, like, you're probably talking about the Protector of Menoth, but it's kind of two, they're very, very zealous, and there's two different ideologies in those. In Signar, you kind of got, there was some point in the army's history, there was the overthrow of the king, so some were loyal to the old king, some, so yeah, there are different factions. There's kind of
within them, even.
Yeah.
But that allows you to do different, and each one has a different special abilities and special things for those units.
Yeah, it depends. It depends on how some.
Well, yes, but I'm saying each one usually has its own special thing. So I love that because you can, you know, have like, even if you have only one group, you can play multiple different ways.
Whenever you said whether it's so sweet or not, I'm going to say so sweet, but.
You don't know.
Roast that. What?
You don't know which one's your so sweet card?
No, I said we didn't say ahead of time whether it was so sweet or not.
I said it was so sweet.
Okay, well, I agree with you. Keep talking.
Well, you know, apparently, you know, you don't listen very well.
I'm off the ball.
So sweet.
More keep talking, Kyle. Keep talking. You have 42 seconds.
I didn't put my soapbox on yet.
Okay, well, yeah. So if you want, you can create theme armies. Like, if you want to be associated with a certain leader and the type of units they like to use, you can do that. There's whole information about all the different sub-factions and things in all these books. There's great fiction that you can read in all these rule
and
books
and that's what I really like.
Yes. There's a very rich back-end to learn about all the different factions and things.
So,
yeah, a quick summary. There's four major factions. There's a fifth one coming sometime in the next year or so.
Do you know what it's about
at
all?
What the fifth faction is. We're going to find out when the new release is. Or not find out, but I have a good idea when the new release comes out in the summer. So
it's next year, you said?
Yeah. Sometime next year.
Okay.
Or maybe later, but there's a new faction coming soon. To bring a fifth main faction into it.
Cool.
So while we're on that idea, let me get my cards back up. So that's two so sweets. What I want to talk about for my first topic is so sweet. This is a continuing on the idea of factions, but the factions don't have any glaring weaknesses to them. So they're very well. Each faction is very well rounded.
So what you're saying is there isn't one that's so much superior to any of the other factions, or is there something like these certain figures, you know, every figure would be useful? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is every faction, each of them has their special ability, what they're good at. There's not like a glaring, like one guy doesn't have pathetic defense. One guy is not like just a complete crap shot. You know, there's not.
So
like,
you have opportunity to use every figure in any game, possibly. Is that what you're saying? I'm just trying to.
I'm trying to explain it. It's not exactly that every figure is necessarily useful, but like, say if you break down, like, I'll compare it to is like Warhammer 40,000. I play as the Tau Empire. The Tau Empire has lots of powerful guns, but if you get in close combat, we get destroyed. So we have a glaring weakness in that we can't fight close hand to hand close combat. The factions in this game don't have glaring weaknesses. Each one's strong in an area, but it's not like this. It's not like if you get in a situation where it's not your strong point, you're just going to get decimated.
So they're more generally more well-rounded,
yes,
is what
yes.
I initially said.
Yes, that's
so.
What
you know what? I will have to agree with you on that. It allows you to play other factions that you're not used to. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're not going to play them as well as you do your original faction, but it'll still allow you to get a chance to win.
Because I like it. It helps keep it the game away from the whole paper, rock, scissors phenomenon, where, you know, one type of army build can be really
Star
good.
Wars.
Star Wars?
Was that the rock, paper, scissor, or was that the Transformers?
Oh, that was a joke. No, but like I go back to Warhammer 40,000. Like, in Warhammer 40,000, there's certain army builds that if you see on the opponent has, you're pretty much going to lose. It's like, oh, crap, my army can't fight that. You know, whereas this way you have more well-rounded factions, the fact that, okay, maybe that army I might have a hard time against that army. It's not like they're there to exploit a massive glaring weakness in how I fight.
Okay.
So that's what I think. It just is good about it.
As myself, as I don't know about Warhammer 40K, mm-hmm. this is what you're telling me. I'm just I'm just like, all right, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, what sounds? I mean, I think it sounds good to my to me in my head. So I assume that makes sense.
Along with the voices,
along with those crazy voices we keep hearing every now and then. Oh, here comes another one.
How do they know it's coming? I mean, apparently you have some telekinetic abilities or something. Telepathic abilities.
There's some link to somebody over here behind the camera. Maybe that's.
I think they probably figured that out by now.
I don't know. Okay,
and if they haven't, then I wonder.
This is going nowhere in a hurry. Okay, next topic. Right. We'll stop that one early. I got nothing else to add to that. What do you want to talk about?
I will talk about the figure quality.
Okay.
I believe it is so sweet.
Oh, dang straight. These figures are beautiful. Anything to elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, you said it in really one sentence. They are well, well made.
Yeah.
This metal is actually good, solid metal. They're detailed. Like, for a male figure, they are
beautiful.
Amazingly detailed.
Especially some of these war jacks. I mean, they have all the little ridges and little dimples and things.
This one right here has amazing
ridges. He's one of my favorite guys overall in terms of how I painted them. Because, obviously, they're all bare metal. You have to assemble and paint them yourself. So there's just definitely a whole hobby side of this. I paint all these guys out in front of me.
It's definitely, it takes a while, but it's well worth it.
Yeah, I think they're... I like the whole... A lot of people like to say they like the whole steampunk aspect, where they're like battle mechs, but they're at the same time, they're steam engines. They have these little towers that come out of the belts, belch of smoke, or like the Crix guys over here. They have like these eerie reactors in them that cause them to glow green, and, give them these real cool alien-looking effects and very evil things.
Yeah.
Or like how I did to some of the effects, like the Bane Knights with their skulls have these deep, dark eye sockets and just make them look creepy and like, evil and stuff.
It allows you to customize your army pretty well.
Customize in terms of visual.
Yeah, visual-wise. Well, obviously.
Yeah, there's not a lot of customization in terms of army building, but that's another topic altogether. I'm going to put that down as something I'm going to talk about later. Keep talking. Anything else you want to add on?
Well, that's about it. Until I get myself my own army, I cannot really say how easy or hard it is to actually put these figures together and paint them.
They're pretty run-of-the-mill for typical metal figures. If you're used to assembling metal figures, they'll go together about the same. They can be kind of tricky to get them glue sometimes. You got to hold them for a minute or two, depending on the type of glue you use. Wash them first, give them a nice coat of primer, and you should be good to go from there. Also, if you're in, the rule book does have a pretty good painting guide in the back of your if you've never done this kind of stuff before. So, all right.
Like myself.
Yes. Next up, let's keep a good train going. One thing I talked about is just the sheer amount of options you have when it comes to what a guy can do and how awesome that is.
I will have to, agree with you on that. Though I'll have one point to say, later on about what may not be as good as I hoped it would be.
So what I'm talking about, essentially, when you get a guy in action... They have a horde of different things they can do. Horde of different things they can do based on different types of attacks. A lot of guys carry multiple weapons. They have multiple special abilities. The warcasters have just tons of spells they can cast. Everyone's got a couple, a couple spells. They have a couple other.
Spells. They have like 10.
Six, seven, or eight, depending on how many focus.
Well, yes, I was all exaggerating, but still,
but yes. But then the whole boosting mechanism to, how you can power up certain attacks when you want to be more precise and more powerful strikes. It just gives a lot of more tactical feel to the game. Then it depends less on how you build the army and more on how you use the army.
Yeah, it's true. And I completely agree. I do love the multiple upon multiple options. But the only downside I've felt about this tends to... take up a lot of time, especially in the beginning, where we're at now. It takes a lot of time.
It can be a beast to learn the game.
And,
there's no doubt about that.
You have to keep with smaller armies, so, it still requires so much strategy that, having a smaller army doesn't matter, but, for the effect of having a large army, which is, kind of cool, I think the multiple options limits that.
because there's so many things you're doing, this game will get bogged down at larger sizes. I mean, like I said, it's a skirmish level game, so if you're looking to play something, for people out there familiar with playing games the scale of Fantasy or 40K, you're not going to really be able to effectively play that in War Machine. There's nothing to keep you that says you can't play that, but you're going to find that
months and months of play if you have a campaign.
It's going to take you a long time. Just like any game, you know how complex it gets. It's a certain point where it just breaks down. This game does break down at probably around the 1500 point, 1000 point level, depending on your skill level. So,
okay.
Okay, your next thing.
My next thing. I really don't have a next thing.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Dice.
That's just creepy, man. What is that thing? Where's the
dice?
Maybe if I throw something over in this direction, it'll solve the problem. Not a figure. What did you just throw?
Die.
Oh, okay.
The voice was calling for dice, so I was like, okay.
Okay.
Apparently, I hit the camera instead, though. Actually, the camera stand.
Okay, you better not hit the camera. But here, let's go on a similar topic. Let me go on to something that's a haterade of. And the fact there's no real training materials for the game. Like, you know, there's no training scenarios, and there's no tutorials on how to play the game, I think. So I think that haterade on that, because that's basically very downer how the
game I do believe that it's starting off with the assumption that you know something about fantasy games and miniature.
Agree or disagree?
I'll have to agree with you,
okay,
because I am not one who plays 40K or too many miniatures games. I have some experience, but if I coming in when I first played, this was quite complicated even for me. And anyone who's just starting up and doesn't know anything about miniatures and metal figure games is going to be completely overwhelmed by this.
Yes, that's like I was saying, because compared to say Warhammer, any of the Games Workshop properties, other things like what was the other game I had in my head? Oh, the confrontation game we did earlier. They had those training scenarios introduced one new concept at a time.
Yes.
Granted, the scenarios are often boring and or stupid, but they ease you into the game. Like this game just kind of throws you right into it. Like, the starter set comes with a Warcaster and a couple Warjacks, depending on what faction you play as. Anywhere from 2 to 4 Warjacks. And there's no training scenarios. Nothing really eased you into the game. Nothing to really help you learn the rules. It's just, okay, here are the rules, play with them, and hopefully you figure them out.
Yeah.
And it's really, so I ended up finally creating a scenario myself where I kind of, with Kyle to teach him the game, kind of introduce, okay, here's some of the basic infantry guys, here's a resolve combat. And get bigger and bigger and bigger as the scenario goes along, and hopefully that made it a little bit better than just kind of throwing you into the game. But
yeah,
it'd be nice if this company had something for you in either the main rule book or the starter kind of rules that come with the quote battle box sets or whatever they call them. So, anything else you want to add on that?
That pretty much sums it up. I believe in that. You really need to have some kind of training, as boring as it is for any game.
Especially one this size.
Oh, especially one this size. I mean, even some of the simple games still, like Lord of the Rings, which is simple, had
Fairly
their own
simple.
Their own training. This,
yeah.
One of the most simple miniatures games I played, and that had training. So a game 10 times, as hard and complicated would definitely need some training.
So maybe there's something out there, but there's nothing came with the actual rules, per se. So
maybe that's something we need to research into.
Yeah, okay.
Find out.
If you got to come with anything more, since I got a whole list of things here, so we're not in any hurry of running out of material anytime
soon. Of course not. Of course, you're much more well-prepared than I am.
Because I wrote everything down ahead of time. Aren't I nice?
That's because I don't have this game and cannot think of these things until, like, 5 minutes beforehand. But let me see.
Okay, we already talked about that one. Ooh, okay. I gotta cross things off.
you really should start crossing things
off. Okay, well, if you don't get anything right away, I got a few more things we can go into.
Of course.
Okay, let's talk So Sweet, about the battle boxes and how they actually work really well in terms of, basically, they're small battles, but they're still really fun and entertaining to play. The small Warcaster, a couple of Warjacks that you get in those battle boxes.
So you're talking about the initial starter battle box?
Yes, in terms of how they're very fun, entertaining games to have me play with them.
Well, I mean, I can't say for myself, but I mean, I'm assuming based on the when you first got it,
we played it.
Well, I'm just making sure that's what was in a battle box because I didn't buy it myself.
Yeah, the Kirk's guys you play with Denegra, the four Warjacks you had were...
You know, that was definitely took us like 40 minutes even just to play with the battle box. So, you know what, that is so sweet. That, you know, allows you to play a long period of time. But go ahead and explain.
Of course, some more. What I'm talking about, the battle box that I mentioned a little bit before, the basic starter kits for War Machine. They come with a Warcaster and 2 to 4 Warjacks, depending on the faction that you choose. And they range about $40 to $50, depending where you buy them from. And there's one for each faction. So you obviously need 2 to play the game. So you need 1 of each faction. And even though there's so few units in the battle box, it's still a heck of a lot of fun to play with them. Like, because it goes back to the whole idea that the guys have so many different options available to them, what they can do.
Yeah.
It just creates, it's still a very fun, enriching experience. Compare that to Confrontation, where that $70 box set had only so few units in it, because that game just didn't work on a small scale, wasn't fun to play. Whereas War Machine, a small scale, is a heck of a lot of fun to play. Like, I was talking about the first time we were playing Kyle, where he beat me the first time we were playing with these battle boxes.
I was losing, too. I was losing massively. Yeah.
Well, no, that was different. That was the second game.
That was the second game?
You know, the first game was, he ended up beating me, and it wasn't so much I thought, okay, how did I build my army wrong? It was, how did I use my army wrong? Because, you know, okay, I didn't use any Coleman Striker's spells. That was a stupid mistake. Next thing, Tungstein pulled out Earthquake and leveled half these guys in one shot.
Didn't I use Scourge on you? That I found out about Scourge and used that a couple times on you, which helped me a lot.
Because there's so much discovery in what each unit can do that's really a lot of fun just to learn these basic armies. And then it gives you a good starting point to add a few squads of troops.
But that caused problems, though, also making sure we got in turn. Those specific rules of, you know, making sure non-measuring, which I'm not used to yet.
That's learning the game. So that's obviously, it goes back to, there aren't a lot of good rules for learning the game, per se.
Right. So, but that was fun. And then the second game, he had me pinned down, and I went a last-ditch effort to...
And you did it. You got lucky and did it. So.
To, what was it? Ghost walk, yes.
To my Coleman Striker and managed to kill him.
Because
I started off...
And then the next game, you just slaughtered me after that.
Yeah, I kept tying up all your stupid little Ark Node guys, and now he's like, one by one, picked you off over and over and over again.
But, yeah.
So it was a lot of fun, but okay.
And each game was a different way we played it. So definitely. It kept it unique. It definitely kept each game unique. So you can play for a month, easily, without, having more than those 2 factions. So, right. I mean, and then if you got more into it, obviously buy more.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Got any more ideas coming to your head?
Listen here. Listen.
That's never a good thing when Kyle does that.
Never a good thing. You're right. Probably not. But, actually, I do have a good thing. I mean, I'm going to go more specific into, the actual War Mages.
Okay, the Warjacks? Not Warjacks, though. Warcasters.
Warcasters, I'm sorry. Warcasters. As I said, I'm still new to this. Mm-hmm. And I think they're so sweet.
Oh, definitely.
They're the most unique figures that, and abilities that I've ever seen of any miniatures games. These guys are powerful, take decent damage, not supposed to go into battle, but they still can take decent damage if they have to.
But at the same time,
And at the same time, they can cast spells and do so much in the game that it makes it your focal point, obviously, of the whole entire game, but it really is something I haven't seen from any other, miniatures game before.
I guess you probably should mention the Warcaster, like you said, he's a very powerful wizard or whatever kind of magic caster, whatever you want to call him. And he is the commander of your army. He controls all your Warjacks, can issue orders to the troops in certain situations. And basically, if the main character dies, you're going to lose the battle. Excuse me. So, a lot of the game does focus around keeping your Warcaster alive. So it's a valid tactic to build an army that's designed to, quote, assassinate your enemy Warcaster as quickly as possible. So like you're saying, they're not, you don't really want them to get in combat, but they can really fight on their own. But, you know, the thing is, because of the nature of how the whole boosting mechanic works, they have to stay in the front lines.
Yes.
So they're all, it's not like you can hide them back, cowering behind something, please don't kill me, please don't kill me. You can't do that. They got to be up in the front lines, you know, being vulnerable all the time. So it's really an interesting tactic.
But they offset by the fact that they're able to do so many powerful things.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But including special feats, which
the feats are just deadly and sick. Yeah, a feat is a special ability the Warcaster can use once per game, or it's just some super powerful attack. It can freeze opponents, it can do lots of attacks against them, it can boost up your own armor, it can destroy opponents' stats, electrocute people. I mean, every Warcaster is totally unique. Even bring people back from the dead, stuff like that.
Oh, which one does that?
One of the Menoth guys, the Reclaimer, I think he's called, the High Reclaimer.
How many Warcasters are there? For each, is there a certain number for each group, or...?
There's about 5 or 6, because there's three, each faction has three or four main ones, and then I think there's about 1 or 2 variants, like, there's Coleman Stryker, for example, and then there's, like, the Super Coleman Stryker when he's, like, a few years older and he's more experienced.
Really?
So there's two versions of him you can play, depending on how you want to play in a game.
Wow.
So there's about 5 or 6, I think. I don't know off the top of my head, though.
That's impressive. Yeah. So that will keep the game pretty unique. All right.
All right. Let's go on to... Well, we're on the topic there. Let's go with... Where's my so sweet card? I'm going to get this back and toss
it back. You keep losing it.
Out. It's right in front of me. I'm just looking over here. It's like, why is it not here? Oh, it's in front of me. So sweet's coming out. Aggressive style of gameplay. In fact, this game is all about getting in your opponent's face, no hiding or anything. So, what do you say?
I'm in between on this one. You know how I am.
Are you more so sweet, or are you more haterade about it? Which one are you?
I guess I'm more so sweet about it, but I have each side to that, so...
Okay. So, if you read, there's a section of the rulebook called Page 5. We'll probably talk a little bit more about this, but it all explains this game is very aggressive. It's all about being up in your opponent's face, just smashing them and beating them down as fast as possible. You don't really keep guys in reserve for very long, if at all. And you can't, because, you know, everyone has to be in the front lines in order to use all their powers interchangeably in how guys work. So it's all about just really being in up front and just attacking over and over and over again. And I really love that style of gameplay, because it's very exciting, very fast, and there's no sitting and standoff and just shooting at each other for long periods of time.
Well, I don't like, you know, standoffs, mm-hmm. and shooting at each other for periods of long time is quite boring. But, so I really do like, you know, more of an aggressive play, but I would also like abilities to do hit and run tactics, you know, things where, you know, you're going around and, mm-hmm. you know, getting opportunities to go around them and attack and this case where the guys die so quickly, you can't really have too many meat shields. Except for the mm-hmm. Warjacks, there's no meat shields and... So you don't get opportunities to actually do the tactics of hit and run mm-hmm. and running around to the other side.
I'd be willing to say, I was talking about outflanking people. And
yes, exactly.
It just the nature of the smaller scale battles of the battle boxes that we've played at this point. Yeah, there's not going to be a lot of outflanking. But I've watched people play larger scale battles where it's like 700-800 points, where the battle box is around 350 points. So when you get about 2-2.5 times that size of the battle boxes, you do start to see more larger army maneuvers where people will actually break their army up into 2 divisions, go around terrain features and things. So I think you will start to see that in more larger scale games. But
I mean, it's still hard even in, I would assume, in the larger scale games.
I don't know. I've never played the super big
games.
Well,
we haven't because you haven't bought enough.
Yeah, it's an expensive game. So
it is. So I think that will go to probably our next point. The cost.
Okay.
I mean, that pretty much goes right into that. Since we start, you know what?
So, I'm gonna say, even though it is kind of expensive, what I'm gonna say is so sweet. I don't know if I'd ever tell you what all these guys cost.
You've given me an idea for the battle box, and I assume you've given me a semi idea. Was your second group they bought like around 30, or was it more?
Probably around the squad figures are gonna range anywhere from $30 to $50 for about 6 figures, depending on which figure it is. It's a pretty wide price range. So it's a little, mostly based on model size, but yeah, it's going to be about $30 to $50 depending on
Okay, so I mean, so that's what I thought. And you know what? For the quality of this, these figures, I will have to agree with you on the Soul Suite. I'm usually a very cheap person, and even I'm finding that amount of money is well worth an investment.
Because I think it goes also hand-in-hand the fact that this game does play so well in small scales that you don't have to buy a lot.
Exactly.
Because a lot of the debate comes down to with this game, is this cheaper than Warhammer? I mean, that's what all this comes down to. And the reality is, on a figure-per-figure cost, it's probably cost similar to Warhammer 40K or Warhammer Fantasy. But the reality is, in most army builds, you're going to have fewer figures for a good, decent game. So an actual full army of this is probably going to be cheaper than 40K.
And then you can also have your multiple armies of each faction, and that will probably overall cost still less than... even possibly one full army of 40K.
Yeah, so I mean, you 40K would probably look to spend maybe, I don't know, it varies, but you know, $300 to $400 for a good size tournament level army, and at least it's going to cost you at least $90 to get a small battalion box for 40K, and that's not even an exceptionally great game to play with.
Okay.
Whereas this, for about $100, you'll get yourself a battle box and a squad of troops, and get a pretty good game going, good sized game going to learn it with. So you're going to get a better experience for less money, but you can definitely spend thousands of dollars on this game for really.
Oh, if you have that kind of money, then go for it. I sure as heck don't. Yeah. But
I'm not about to. But,
oh, come on! I'm sure you got enough money.
But in terms of individual skill, the Warjacks can range anywhere from $15 to $50, I think.
Okay,
$15 to $40, depending on how big they are. Because there's some bigger guys that are really big.
Oh. Why don't you have one? You know, I'm quite disappointed in you.
I mostly Signar horses out here. The big guys are all the Kador.
Which one's the Kador?
Kador are the big armor kind of. They're kind of the communist Russia guys.
Yes. Which faction did I want to play?
These guys.
I apologize.
You protected men off these guys. You
really okay. I need to learn this game better.
You learn all this. There's a lot to the history of this game to learn. So yeah.
So I guess I'll have to have that book for like a couple weeks.
Yeah. Let's see. So, okay. Let's... how are you looking in time over there, demonic voice? Good. Yeah, we got a thumbs up. 2 minutes? 3 minutes? 3 minutes, I guess?
23 minutes?
I don't know what that meant. Oh, 32 minutes. 3 minutes. See, apparently you can't make the demonic voice talk when you want it to.
Oh, apparently we can see demonic voice's fingers.
Yeah.
Apparently they have fingers, and we... Wow. I mean, we must be hallucinating now.
Okay, so, anyway.
How much did you guys drink? Carbon monoxide leak in your building, you know, that we should know of?
I hope not.
They are drunk.
So let's talk. I want to do one final so sweet for my, just because I'm the only one who's read the rule book yet. I just want to talk about the quality of the rule book. That's a haterade token. We want a so sweet token. The quality of the rule book in terms of a lot of different things. Just in terms of production quality, this rule book, the main rule book for War Machine, is absolutely fantastic. I think it might be the best one I've ever seen. It is about, how many pages did it come into? 250 pages or so. This is the War Machine Prime Remix rulebook. It's the base rulebook for War Machine. And then there are other expansions for it. Here's one called Superiority. There's another one like Evolution.
Those are the size of RPG books.
Yeah, they're big because they contain so much stuff. Like, this contains the base rules. This contains the unit records for a lot of the basic units and histories about all the individual units. So, I mean, there's every unit you want to read about. You read about the history of how it came to be, like some of the... Their ideologies. Yeah.
Pretty much everything you can think of is in that book
And this is only $25.
Really?
That's impressive. Full color rule book, $25. And there's so much fiction in here. If you want a game where there is lots and lots of fiction about the background of the universe, you want to play War Machine. Every single one of these rule books has just pages and pages of stories about. That you can read about some of the events that are going on in the world.
About $25 for your second one?
This one was more expensive for some reason. This is $35. I don't know. It's smaller, but it's more expensive. I don't know why.
Because once you get into the game, it's worth the extra $10.
They get you, man. They jack up the prices on you. Everyone does that. It's a craft dealer method.
It's called surviving.
Yeah. What's that? I don't know, but whatever.
I'm sorry, if they didn't make money, we wouldn't have this game. Yeah, if we didn't have this game, we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Yeah, but yeah, long story short, it's a fantastic rule book, definitely beautiful. The rules may not be their rules are decently well laid out. They're better than some games, confrontation, but they're not the best out there, so.
What the heck are you guys doing?
Wait, what? Wait, I thought there was a demonic voice back there.
Oh, no. We got the weird voice now. It's
weird voice.
What are you guys doing? You guys are doing a podcast and you didn't even invite me?
Oh, Ryan's back. Oh, I thought it was hallucinating again.
Wait a minute. He wasn't supposed to be here.
Oh, we thought we had carbon monoxide poisoning or something.
I think you guys are drunk. I think that's what's wrong with you. What's up with this? You guys did a whole podcast without me? What's going on?
I'm sorry. You're just not important. Ugh. Oh, no. That's not what I meant to say. We were looking for you all along. I'm sorry. Where were you? I mean, we were worried about you.
Well, all I can say is 4th of July parties.
Yeah. Yeah, like...
I've been gone for like 3 days, you know. It's fun. Anyway, I got my own... so sweet, though, if I can throw it in real
quick. Okay, so you play game once. You haven't had a whole lot of time to play it, but what do you like about it so far?
So sweet, the dice. Just that...
Wow, those dice are, you know, really special dice.
So overseeing dice.
Ooh. Comes across, you know, time and ghosts and stuff like that. No, but the fact that you only need a few of them to complete the turns is just wonderful.
Yes. The other thing, we never mentioned boosting. Exactly how, like, because boosting is a very powerful mechanic because your warcasters can do to give some of your warjacks and other guys more power.
Yeah, we didn't mention that when I mentioned warcasters, so, yeah.
Let's just finish up with that then, because we're just about time to go to our final thoughts about the game. So, the whole idea of boosting is, you know, most attacks are resolved using 2d6, attacks and damage are 2d6, but you can use some powers, you can do a few times a turn, and add another d6. So now your roll uses 3d6. Mm-hmm. So obviously your average of roll is going to go up. More likely to do greater more damage and better chance of hitting. It's a really amazing mechanic. So it really gives a cool dynamic to the game.
And they keep it to a limited amount of times you can boost.
Yeah.
And when you use up all your points, you can't use spells. So it's definitely
very... It's all trade-offs and options.
Exactly.
So why don't we go ahead and finish up with our last final thoughts of the game. Well, let's have all three of us roll off. Ryan's going to talk about the game a little bit. So here we go. Ready? Highest will go first. Lowest will go last.
Five.
Okay, we all go at the same
time.
Try
the correct way to do this one more time.
Six.
Four.
Five.
Okay, so Kyle, you get 2 minutes. Say whatever you want and tell us what you think about the game in conclusion.
This game, when I first looked at it, I believed it was going to be... It was too small. I didn't believe that it had much strategy.
A lot of people think that.
And, you know, when you see the cost of it, $50 is a lot for, you know, if you believe only, you know, four figures aren't going to get you anywhere. But in this game, four figures is a lot. And I believe this is an amazing game. The abilities and of the figures and the storylines, it's beyond... what I'm used to, even. So, I mean, this is such a great game. Me being the cheap expletive.
What about really cheap?
Really cheap expletive is willing to buy this. This is the first game I've been willing to buy this, you know, for the price ever since Jason's known me. I'm usually just coming over here.
You bought MechWarrior too.
Because I've always been into MechWarrior. That's different. You know, where I could have other people still play with and how much I have. But this game, with the cost, is so worth it to me that I'm willing to spend the $200 to get a couple armies and play it. Mm-hmm. So I believe this is the best game we've ever reviewed ever. And I don't know if we'll be able to top that with any games.
Yeah, maybe. So is that all you have to say?
Well, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, I know.
Best game ever. Remember, it's a pretty good thing to say.
I'm pretty cynical, too. Yeah, I am one of the most critical people here.
Heck yeah. All right, well, Ryan, tell us what you think so far of the game.
Well, from just playing it one time.
There we go.
It reminds me a lot of Heroescape on steroids.
Yes.
I And as far as, I mean,
I'm sorry, I was about to spit out water here because you said that right when I was drinking. So I looked like I was on steroids right then.
And I heard in my head, Kyle, that you said this game was difficult for you earlier. For me, when I started playing it, it really wasn't all that difficult for me. I mean, of course, I had to really understand the rules, but as far as...
You read
as,
the book, too, before...
No, I didn't.
He hasn't read the book yet.
Really?
I
read anything, no.
I read the rule book, yeah.
No, and when Jason was annihilating me the first game, and I was able to come back and at least destroy some of his guys before he just totally destroyed me. But the game, I don't think I would give it, like, the best game ever, but it is a game that's making me look forward to actually buying my own set of figures and painting figures, and you guys know how much I don't like to paint figures.
Well, you never actually painted any figures, did you?
No, I never painted figures.
So this
is making me look forward to painting figures.
If this game has gotten us to that point, it's pretty close to one of the best games.
It is a really great game. I'll give it that. It is a wonderful game to play. I'd recommend playing it, even for any beginner out there. You can learn it relatively quickly.
Okay, well, I guess it's just me to finish up then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing, two things I want to touch on. One thing, like Kyle said about people see this game first being played, which is the battle box, and think, well, there are so few figures in the board. How can it possibly be fun? I mean, I can understand how you could have that reaction, but don't make that mistake. You're going to really pass up on an amazing game if you do. And also, on the topic of learning to paint figures, if you want to get into a game and that's good for painting figures, this is good because it's War Jacks. Most of them are really big. There's lots of easy, they're really big, you know, like I said, and therefore the detail is much larger, so there's not a lot of small little things to paint up in these War Jacks as it is a sun figure. So they're pretty good guys to actually learn to paint on. Like I said, the rule book does have very good tutorials on how to paint. I actually learned how to paint figures from the original War Machine rule book that came out when this game first came out, like 5 years ago, when that was. So just the conclusion, this is one of the best games ever made. There's no doubt in my mind. This is better than anything Games Workshop's ever produced. And, I mean, I'll be curious. One thing we need to see is because this game, where this review we're releasing is the day before War Machine 5th Edition comes out. I got to play it. I still think this game is better than War Machine 5th Edition. 5th Edition is good for War Machine. Warhammer 5th Edition.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, what? Like
Warhammer 40K 5th Edition is coming out.
Okay, thank you.
So, holy crap.
It's carbon monoxide poisoning. It's getting to him. Save yourself.
See, we have no flower cups on the board.
Yeah, so but seriously. This is a fantastic game. You have to play this game. Even if you go down to the store, find some people who have the figures and try one of those battle boxes. You'll be surprised. This is one of the best games ever made, no doubt. Highest review I can possibly give it.
Oh, that's definitely the highest review I've given any game.
So, I guess the one thing to finish up then, thanks for watching. I guess, anything else you guys want to touch on?
What else did you guys... Did you guys talk about anything behind my back when I was gone?
We talked about you the whole time. Don't you know that? We always talk about you behind your back.
Oh, well, not on camera, though.
Of course we do. Of course we talk on camera.
When I'm not here, this is why I'm here more often now, so you guys can't talk behind my back when we're doing a podcast.
You know what?
Or call me up on the phone.
He's a crazy nut, isn't he?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So I guess with
energy drinks and planets that are being drawn crudely.
So let's just run some totals here out of curiosity. With Kyle and I, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
And I added one up there, too.
Oh, add up there. So 19-2 in favor of So Sweet. So yeah, this game is pretty about as heavily unbalanced as we've ever got. So let's go ahead and finish this up, then. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/TT_battlefield. Ryan?
Follow me on Twitter, rmanman4.
I don't have a Twitter account yet.
Well, you need to get one.
Everyone has it. They're fun once you get to play around.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just lazy, okay? What can I say?
Whatever.
Get unlazy.
You know, my name is Jason. I'm lazy.
Questions or comments, send them over to jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. If my voice cracks, it falls apart again. I can't talk anymore.
Okay, well, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Kyle, and you can reach me at kyle@rockosoftware.com. But I do check it every 2 weeks. Nobody's ever emailed me because I'm apparently not important.
So, go down the internet. Be careful what you say, Kyle. I might cut that out for you.
You can cut that out.
Yeah, I might cut that out for you.
All right, and...
Yeah, let's call this show done. We're talking
I'm
now,
Ryan, so. Then.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. For end of the year, we'll see if Privateer Press can top itself with Monster Apocalypse later in the year. So thanks for watching. We'll see you guys again in about 2 weeks in the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
Copyright 2007-2008, Rocko Software, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podsafeaudio.com and is used under a Creative Commons license.